Great to be back assembled this evening. I want to start by saying Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. I remember we were at Ben and Carla's house last year, and Beverly made it a point to say, last year, don't forget, because I did give the lesson last Mother's Day as well, last year, and she said, don't forget to wish all the mothers a Happy Mother's Day. So I remember this year too. So, all right. Yep, she gave thumbs up. Okay, tonight, my lesson is going to be on counting the cost. Counting the cost. And when we count the cost, let us think about where our priorities are. Where are our priorities in our lives? Have we put Christ first in all that we do? And we're going to start out in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, if you want to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 14, we'll read verses 25 through 33. And so when we think about counting the cost, what does it mean to count the cost? What are we willing to give up in counting the cost? And so let us start out in Luke 14, 25 through 33. And it reads, "Now there went with him great multitudes, and he turned and said unto them, If any man cometh unto me and hateth not his own father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, doth not first sit down and count the cost, whether he have wherewith to complete it, lest haply, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all that behold begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, as he goeth to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and take counsel whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, and asketh conditions of peace. So therefore, whosoever he be of you, that renounceth not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." And so after reading Luke 14, I want to ask, have you counted the cost? And what does it mean to count the cost? Count the cost to do what? When we read Luke 14, the entire chapter relates to counting the cost. And Jesus is teaching about the importance of counting the cost to become his disciple. And so counting the cost involves becoming a disciple of Christ. For those of you who have not been added or have not decided to follow Jesus, deciding to become a disciple of Christ will be the most important decision you make. In life, there are many decisions we make each day. Some are important decisions. Some are indifferent. Important decisions will involve time and effort and critical planning. And so when my family decides on a 4-day fishing trip to Valdez, it's an important decision. At least we think so. With 3 young boys, we plan on taking a full day just getting ready to go. It takes planning. And we must plan on possible issues that may come up, that we may come across, so that way we are prepared to overcome those possible issues. If we fail to adequately plan, we would be hindered from reaching our destination. And so applying this analogy to choosing to become a disciple of Christ and living faithfully, if we become hindered with the sins of the world without building our foundation of faith, we will be hindered from reaching our destination, which is heaven. Brothers and sisters, the more important decisions we make, the more planning it takes. And so what about planning for even more important things? Deciding on a career. For you teenagers or the youth, deciding on a college. or trade school? What about taking a new job? What about moving? What about retirement? These are important decisions in life which requires adequate planning. Will you sit down on these things and count the cost? These are important decisions in life. But I want to ask, how important is your salvation? How important is deciding to become a Christian? Friends, if you have not counted the cost in becoming a disciple of Christ, choosing to follow Christ will be the most important decision you will make in your life. And so have you counted the cost? There are many individuals who have not counted the cost in becoming a disciple of Christ, and many do not understand what it means to count the cost. Even individuals who have just been added unto the church through baptism have not counted the cost. And sadly, it does not take long before they go through trials and tribulations, and we see them become carried away with the sins of the world, and they become as lost sheep. And so when we sit down and determine what we prioritize in order to become a disciple of Christ, and when we sit down and decide what things we need to give up in our lives, and when we sit down and determine what foundation of faith we have to be a disciple of Christ, and when we sit down and determine what we need to strengthen our faith to continue to walk as a disciple of Christ, brothers and sisters, we are counting the cost. Jesus teaches the importance of finishing what you started and gives a parable of a builder who has not finished what he started. And the result is an unfinished structure. And you see these types of structures every here and there, living in Alaska. They're all over. And when you drive by them, you may think how unfortunate it was to have put in all that time and all that effort and use all that material just to build a portion. Did he not count the cost to finish what he started? Perhaps you may think of the potential it could have been. What a useful piece of structure that could have been to serve somebody well. And now it's falling apart. And it's unsalvageable. If you knew that individual who began to build and never finished, would you question him? Jesus is teaching through these examples in Luke 14 a lesson on the importance of preparing for a total commitment to finish what you have started, to even endure the suffering of being a disciple. Jesus is teaching the importance of being fully committed to follow all of God's word and apply it directly to your life. And so if you are worthy of becoming a disciple of Christ, Christ demands complete obedience and teaches us the importance of remaining faithful unto death. And so are you willing to make personal application according to his word? Do you prioritize Christ first? Have you put Christ first in all that you do? Jesus teaches in Mark 12 about the greatest command, and he answers the scribes who asks him. And Jesus says in verse 29, Mark 12, verse 29, about the greatest command. The first is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." Brothers and sisters, the first and most important command is to love God with all our heart, and with all our soul, and with all our mind, and with all our strength. If we love God, we keep His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. And so our priority is to be on the spiritual things. And if our priority is on the spiritual things, we seek the things which are above, which will lead us to heaven. We could read in Colossians 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. If then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And so if we put Christ first, love God with all our strength, and seek the things that will lead us to heaven, where does that leave everything else in our life? Brothers and sisters, it leaves everything else behind Christ. And when demanded, it leaves everything else behind. And we do not look back. Jesus teaches about following Him in Luke 9. And the cost that comes with following Jesus. The cost that comes with following Him. And we read about three different men in Luke 9. A certain man said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus teaches that he has nowhere to go. Jesus has nowhere to go. Even the birds and the foxes have somewhere to go. But Jesus has nowhere to lay his head. And so in following Christ, would you be willing to give up all that you have to become homeless to follow Christ? If you had a warm home where all of your basic needs were met, would you be willing to give all that up? Think of the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler. But you do not have to be rich. You could have a one-bedroom, cozy little apartment or a 100-acre farm. Are you willing to give it up to follow Christ? We continue to read, another man agrees to follow Jesus, but he first wants to bury his father. And so Jesus tells him to leave him and let the dead bury the dead. These standards are high. Jesus tells him to leave him and let the dead bury the dead. He's to preach the kingdom. Are you willing to do that? We continue to read of Jesus teaching, and another man agrees to follow Jesus, but wants to first say goodbye to his family. Jesus tells him to not even look back. Do not look back. And so in prioritizing Christ first, brothers and sisters, we are reading these men are told they are to be willing to give up all they have and to become homeless if demanded. Neglect family obligations if demanded. And to not even say goodbye to those in their own household if demanded. These standards are high. Are you willing to do the same as what we read? Verse 62 reads, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And so, brethren, if you have the plow, you look towards the harvest. The harvest is plentiful. You look towards the work of the kingdom, evangelism, edifying of the saints, and benevolence. Do not look back. Do not let your physical relationships with those who are not added to the church, even your families, determine whether you do the work of the kingdom or not. Do not let your careers Determine where you worship God. If your career leads you to a location where there is no Church of Christ, if your career leads you to continually miss worship services, sit down and count the cost. Brothers and sisters, those priorities are backwards. It sounds difficult, but it is not. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, we read in Matthew 11:30. If it is difficult, it is because we make it difficult. And so I used to do what I love to do every day, what I love to do. I did what I wanted to do. And I could not imagine giving up what I love to do. I couldn't imagine my hobby getting in the way of being a disciple. It was my hobby and my passion. Think of a painter giving up painting. A sports player giving up sports. A musician giving up music. Think of giving up your lifestyle. Have you did that? I did that. Brothers and sisters, those things don't matter much anymore. And I cannot remember the last time I did them because I'm not looking back. My head's forward. I'm not saying that you have to give up your hobbies to follow Christ. But if you truly put Christ first in all that you do, if you put Christ first, brothers and sisters, you just aren't going to care much anymore in comparison to serving Christ. I care about my physical family, but my physical family knows where I am on Sundays. They know where my faith is. Count the cost. We read in Matthew 10, Jesus teaching about priorities. When we prioritize the most important things in our lives, we think of our families and our relationships with our families. We often do not think about our willingness to be able to leave our families in order to follow Christ. And so what are you going to do when your own family tells you to stop following Christianity? What are you going to do when your family disowns you for following Christ? Where will your priorities be when you come under persecution? Jesus teaches us in verse 34, Matthew 10, verse 34, "Think not that I came to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man at variance," and hear this, brothers and sisters, "for I came to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And so, brothers and sisters, friends, Jesus did not come to accept everyone as they are and save every person on this earth, whether they obey him or not. Jesus is teaching the very consequences of following him will set you apart from many, including those in your own household. And so, are you willing to suffer from those consequences? Are you willing to suffer as a son? As a daughter? Are you willing to suffer as a mother? As a father? Are you willing to suffer the consequences you may endure to the point where your own family members will disown you? Or will you give in? Will you love father or mother more than Christ and want to please them more than God? Will your priorities be in your family or in Christ? We could read in Luke chapter 14, 26, which we read, "If any man cometh unto me and hateth not his own father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." And so we understand we are to not literally hate our own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and our own life. But let us ask ourselves, at what level of love do we have for our own family? At what level of love do we have for our own life? Where is it? Is it here? At what level of love do we have for Christ? Is it here? Is it here? Or is it here? At least it's just a little bit more. Brothers and sisters, if we are okay with that, we're missing the point of Jesus' teaching. Our love for Christ needs to be so much more than our own father. It needs to be so much more than our own mother, our brothers, and our sisters. It needs to be so much more than our own life. It needs to be so much more than our own lives to the point to where it may seem like the only comparison would be described as hate towards everybody else. Because when the very people we love come to visit us on a weekend and ask for us to spend time with them rather than to come to worship, we choose to worship. Or when they plan a barbecue, a birthday party, or when they travel across the country just to see you, where will you be on Sunday? What about a funeral? If there's a funeral in the family and it is held on the first day of the week, where will you be? Will you remember Christ's death on the first day of the week? Brothers and sisters, I do not mean to ask hypothetical questions, but have you counted the cost to put Christ first? And so where are your priorities? What about your foundation? Our foundation of faith comes from the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Through the Word of God, we must have built a foundation of faith that will keep us as faithful saints. Remain faithful unto death. Revelations 2:10. Without that foundation, it will become easy for us to become as lost sheep. And we read of the parable of the sower. Brothers and sisters, Christ teaches through more than one teaching on the importance of building that solid foundation. Many hear the word of Christ, and they fall away after experiencing their first temptation. And young men and youth, fornication will be a temptation. Alcohol will be a temptation. Peer pressure will be a temptation. All these physical pleasures in life are the lust of the eyes and the lusts of the flesh. And I do not believe the church preaches enough on appropriate boundaries between men and women. And so, young men, if you meet a girl and if she is willing to go beyond appropriate boundaries, she is not good for you. Likewise, the young women. I believe the church should preach more on modesty and immodesty. Boys, do not set your eyes on the girls with low-cut tops and short shorts who are looking and walking to get attention. This is a temptation. And we are taught some seed falls on the rock. And those are the ones who have heard the word with joy, are obedient for a while, then fall away through their first temptation. Lust is one of the strongest temptations. If you find yourself alone with a person of the opposite sex, get out. If they are not a Christian, they're not compatible for marriage. Young girls, if a boy does not treat your mother or father right, he's not compatible for marriage. If you are in a courting relationship, do your background check, as Brother John Shannon would say. If he or she has been married and unscripturally divorced, do not marry. Brothers and sisters, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh is strongest with sexual desires in relationships. That is why we need to preach it. But temptation does not only come through this. What about the love of money? Go back and read about the rich young ruler. What about envy? What about trials? Is your foundation of faith strong enough to keep you faithful even through your biggest trials, where perhaps you've lost a loved one, or you've lost your job, or when you get down through discouragement, where nothing seems to be going right in your life? Friends, Satan knows how to put you through trials and temptations. He studied man since man has been on this earth. But will you have a foundation of faith that is strong enough to keep you faithful? Do you have an obedient faith? Because that's what faith is. Our faith is an obedient faith. We pull ourselves out of the snare of the devil through the Word of God. And we must apply the Word of God to our lives. In Luke 6, Jesus teaches the Word of God, and two individuals hear the Word of God. Only one individual is obedient to the Word of God. And so what foundation does he build with his obedient faith? Luke chapter 6, 46 through 49, and it reads, "And why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Everyone that cometh unto me and heareth my words and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man building a house, who digged and went deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream brake against that house and could not shake it." How strong was his foundation? Because it has been well builded. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that buildeth a house upon the earth without a foundation, against which the stream brake, and straightway it fell in, and the ruin of that house was great. And so what foundation of faith do you have? Do you have a faith with such a strong foundation where Satan could put anything in your path? And you may overcome it. Satan will sling dirt right in your eye, and he will blind you, but you have the Word of God. Satan will knock you down, but you have the Word of God. Satan will do his best to separate you from Christ, but you have the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, you have the Word of God. With God, all things are possible. And the Word of God has every single answer you will ever need to know to get you to heaven. There's nothing God left out for you to know. Every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And so, brothers and sisters, Following Christ is not about how smart you are, how educated you are, what titles you have, what socioeconomic status you fall under. We just need to be plain and hear the plain gospel and be obedient to the plain gospel. That is where the power is. In the plain gospel. Gospel of salvation. If you want to be wise, it does not take much. It does not take much to be wise. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 4. It teaches us what it means to be smart. And it reads, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. And hear this, that the wise man may hear and increase in learning, and that the man of understanding may attain unto sound counsels. If you're willing to hear and increase in your learning, you're already wise. If being obedient to the word of God required any more understanding, brethren, I would be lost. Brothers and sisters, I cannot pass Algebra 101, but I could be obedient to the word of God. And so finishing out, we strengthen our faith through the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. The word of God gives us everything we need. And so where do you lack in your faith? Have you counted the cost? What are you willing to give up? Do you lack perseverance? Let us read Romans 5, 4. We also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. It's right there in the word. Do you lack in patience? Let us read James 1, 2. Count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. Brethren, it's all right there in the word of God. Do you lack wisdom? Let us read James 1, 3. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. Brethren, it is all there in the word of God. Whatever you need, it has been already revealed through his word. Do you need instruction for prayer? Pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18. Do you need instruction for exhorting one another? And let us consider one another to provoke into love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day drawing nigh. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. What about the importance of diligent study? The importance of meeting with the saints on the first day of the week, walking in the newness of life. Brothers and sisters, it is all there in the word of God. And so where do you lack? What area of life do you need to improve upon to continue to walk faithfully? To continue to walk faithfully in obeying the gospel. Have you put Christ first in all that you do? In obeying the gospel, you need to sit down and count the cost. Have you heard the word of God? Romans 10, 17. Do you believe the word of God? Hebrews 11, 6. Are you willing to repent of your sins? Acts 17, 30. Will you confess Christ, Son of the living God? Matthew 16, 16. Are you ready to be baptized? Acts 2, 38. And so I want to ask, have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? And are you willing to live your life faithfully? Revelation 2:10. If you are subject to this invitation, please come forward while we stand and sing.